Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Today we're doing another nonprofit spotlight. There are many needs in our communities. Many step up to help. We really appreciate that, and so we'd love to shine a light on your favorite nonprofit or individual doing good in your community. Amy Anderson, spiritual counselor with Sunshine Hospice in Logan and regional coordinator for Boulder Way Forward, will join us for the hour, and we'll hear from representatives from other nonprofits throughout the hour. We hope to hear from you as well. This is your chance to give a few minutes of fame to your favorite nonprofit. And I guess beyond the fame, to boost help for your organization. So here's how you reach us. upraccess@gmail.com is the email. upraccess@gmail.com. We do welcome in Amy Anderson. Thanks for joining us again.
You're welcome, Tom. It's always a great pleasure to be here.
So busy as always, probably.
Very busy. Yeah. Good busy, though.
Yeah.
I think it's always important to be mindful of the needs of others in our community and find those opportunities to reach out and connect. And we're blessed up here in Cache County to have many organizations. But my role now, I work with Utah State University's Utah Women in Leadership Project, and it's given me the opportunity to learn about all of the wonderful organizations throughout our state. So it's been a great opportunity personally for growth, just to know that Cache is not unique. We like to think we're super unique, but there are definitely great people doing work throughout our state.
Right. That's a good point. I'd love to hear from you if you're in Vernal or St. George or Delta, wherever you might be. If it's a great nonprofit you'd like to spotlight, email us to upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com. I don't know if I've asked you this before, Amy, probably at some point. You've been involved with nonprofits for a long time.
I have. I actually, my entire career, my very first job out of graduate school was for a nonprofit hospital. So I think that there's something really unique about that ability to work for a nonprofit. I mean, obviously, nonprofits have to make a profit because they have to keep their doors open. But there does seem to be just a slightly little different element when you're working for a nonprofit versus a for-profit. I think it attracts a different type of people, and almost all the time they're in the business of serving others. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's just always been a super important part of who I am and how I was raised.
Yeah. And quite often salary isn't the top consideration, right?
Correct. Salary is not always the top consideration when you work for a nonprofit. Yeah. But, you know, again, I think in life, I've learned that our rewards come in many different ways. Financial reward is certainly an important piece, but the internal joy that it brings with helping uplift somebody who's in need is certainly a payday in and of itself.
Yeah, there are other paydays. You don't want to starve, but there's certainly richness that comes from serving, right? Yeah. So anybody you'd like to highlight just right off the top here?
No, I mean, we've got some people lined up, and I'd like to give them the time to talk about what they do. And further down the road, some of my colleagues from Boulder Way Forward are going to be on the air, so I can interject then.
All right, great. Well, let's start with Janet Boldness, is in studio here, representing English Language Center. Tell us what English Language Center does.
Thank you so much for this, for your time and opportunity to talk about the English Language Center. our center focuses on helping those learn the English language so they can adapt into the community. We help our classes focus on basic life skills such as, you know, helping them find a job, helping them with housing, banking, assessing medical care, school enrollment for their children, because language can become a huge barrier when you're coming into a community and you don't have that language opportunity. It can become a huge barrier. So we try to bridge that gap and help them with that and navigate through the community. We have a really big event coming up next week, March 20th. Our funding is all local, comes from private donations, grants, and endowments. We do not get any federal funding. We do charge the students a small tuition. They pay $25 for their books that they get to keep and take home with them. That price has not gone up since 1998.
Wow.
That continues to stay very low so that we can continue to serve our students. So our funding is very, very important so we can continue, and our enrollment continues to go up. Just a couple years ago, our enrollment was 598 individuals. Last year, in 2024, we served 946, and it continues to grow. Our funding is very, very important to continue to serve our clientele. Our event that is coming up is at the Riverwoods Conference Center, March 20th at 6 o'clock. It's $90 for a ticket, $850 for a table of 10. It's a big event. We're hoping to serve anywhere from 350 to 400 people. We will have some really interesting entertainment. The Jumbo Africa Burundi drummers are coming up from Salt Lake. We will have a live auction, a silent auction, a raffle, just good community involvement and entertainment. So we hope to see you there. Go online and purchase your tickets today.
Let's see, English Language Center of Cache Valley.
It's the
place to go. Just Google that, and you can see that event there. So, but tell us when it is again.
The English Language Center of Cache Valley. We serve those who do not speak English, immigrants, refugees that come into our valley, and help them learn the English language and navigate through the community.
All right, wonderful.
I was not aware of all of those additional services that you started talking about. Like, to me, you know, being always a native speaker, I didn't even think about the implications of how do you enroll your child in school? How do you advocate for them, for example, with like a education plan? How do you walk into a bank and know how to communicate, to set up a bank account? I mean, it's. I think we take for granted when we're here, and it's so easy for us to walk into the grocery store even and ask where something is. I never really thought about that. That's such a big part of what the English Language Center does. So thanks for sharing that, because, yeah, I was just thinking like, oh, yeah, they help people learn English. But, yeah, all of those other elements that come into play when you don't know a language, it's so important that people have that support. So thank you so much for doing that for individuals that are new to our community.
And it is really, really exciting and rewarding as well when we have a student that comes in and shows us their driver's license. They're very, very proud. Those kinds of things. They like to share. It becomes a family. It becomes a family unit. Our students come in, and when they enter the school building and they bring their driver's license, they just feel like they're telling their family. They're sharing their family with their family about their accomplishments.
Are you all still looking for volunteers to help with the classes as well, or is the English Language Center pretty set with volunteers?
I believe they're always looking for volunteers because everybody's schedules change, so volunteers come and go. The last day of class is March 20th, and then there will be a break, and then new classes will begin again a couple weeks later. So there's always a turnover of when volunteers can come in and help in the classrooms.
And I believe you've done that, right? Haven't you helped?
My husband and I did help with that. Monday evenings we went in and we volunteered, and it is an eye-opener. It's an eye-opener. It's really, really fun to have that connection with those students and hear their stories and learn about where they came from and what their lives are like and their new beginnings here.
Yeah. I think it's a broad range of places people come from.
Yes. Lots of different countries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that event again is the benefit dinner. Tell us the details.
On March 20th at the Riverwoods Conference Center. Individual tickets are $90. You can purchase a table of 10 for $8.50. And you can go to our website, the English Language Center, to purchase your tickets there.
All right. I notice on the site, English Language Center of Cache Valley, there's a donate button. I imagine you wouldn't turn around away donations.
Never turn down donations, correct. There is a donate button, and then there's also an image of our event that you can click right on and buy tickets there.
All right, wonderful. Well, Janet Volnis has been telling us about this. Thank you.
Thank you.
English Language Center of Cache Valley. It looks like we do have Karen Hill on the phone right now, so let's go to that, I guess. We want to talk about Boulder Way Forward.
Sure, yeah. Let me give you a little background. So Boulder Way Forward launched almost 2 years ago. It's the initiative of the Utah Women in Leadership Project, and it's a coordinated statewide event to help girls and women in our state thrive. Because ultimately, when girls and women thrive, families thrive and communities thrive. So the program has begun with leadership across 18 different areas that have all set goals and objectives for how we can accomplish things in areas as far-ranging as the gender pay gap, to sexual harassment, to child sexual abuse, to health across the lifespan. All of those areas are important as we look at how to help girls and women thrive in our state. But a key component of that, and the whole reason behind the work, is that it truly needs to be a grassroots effort. It needs to involve organizations and individuals across all types of organizations and interests and areas. It's that systems thinking that we all have to work collaboratively to make things change. So there's been county coalitions organized in each of the 29 counties in our state, where those are the individuals that are connecting with the actual organizations and people often doing the work to help lift girls and women in those areas. And so today we have with us Maya McKinnon, who's working with our Cache County Coalition, and Karen Hill, who's working with the Utah County Coalition. But if you're listening to this and you live anywhere from Sevier County to Juab to Rich to Uinta to Duchesne, there are organizations and individuals working at this in each and every county across the state. So we have Karen and Maya here just to talk about the work that they're doing, the organizations that they're interacting with, so that people can learn how they can get involved.
Okay. And I made a mistake before we went on the air. You asked, should I have the headphones on? I said, no. Wouldn't need to. Well, you'll need to.
Because Karen's on the phone.
Yes, I totally forgot about this. So put your headphones on so you can hear Karen. And you might have to, there's a little knob where it plugs in under the table there. You might need to turn up the volume for your headphones. So Karen, do we have you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Well, very good. Thanks for joining us. And Maya, thanks for coming in the studio as well.
Thank you.
Maybe we'll start with you, Karen. Tell me, you're in Utah County, I think?
Yes, I'm in Utah County.
So tell me a little bit about the work of Boulder Way Forward there.
Yes, we've been organizing Boulder Way Forward now for over a year in Utah County. We're seeing some progress here. There are the 18 areas that we are trying to get some leadership in every county, and of course Utah County. And there are five broad areas: education, workplace, health and well-being, community engagement, and safety and security. So those are the five broad areas that we have. And among that, then there are 18 individual, we call them spoke areas, because the graphic that explains Boulder Way Forward is it like a wagon wheel rolling up a hill, because we know we have an uphill battle complete with potholes in there. And so we are trying to find representation from our county for each of these spokes, which we're close to that right now. And we have co-leads in our county who are helping orchestrate everything. And one of the first things that we were charged with doing, because this is a systems thinking movement, I like to think of Older Way Forward as a movement. The first thing we were tasked with doing was mapping our county. And that was a task to identify organizations, individuals, businesses, anyone who could be connected to one of our spoke areas. And I was fortunate in that we had some university students that needed to do a project, and they are mapping for us. We have hundreds and hundreds of organizations in Utah County who we will invite to become involved in a spoke area that connects with what they are doing professionally.
Yeah, it sounds a lot of synergy there. I think that's the way it's designed to be, right? Join up a lot of organizations.
Absolutely, and I think that, you know, that's the key is when we look at the systems approach. You know, for example, you recognize that, you know, poverty and homelessness has ties directly to the gender pay gap, directly to educational opportunities for women. Like nothing operates in isolation. So as we do our work, the goal is to connect those organizations, because people may not. I'll restart that. We have many coalitions throughout our state and throughout our counties where, you know, maybe all the child care providers come together and talk about their issues, but they're not necessarily always connecting potentially with businesses or with healthcare leaders or with individuals who are running a food pantry, et cetera. So that idea of building these coalitions gives people additional resources and may prompt new ideas about how they can address the problems that they're finding in their area. You know, and Karen, I know, is personally involved in so many different areas. She works with Family Haven, which deals with women struggling. She volunteers with Welcome Babies. So, you know, even individuals like that are our leaders in the county, their own personal connections are helping to grow the work.
Yeah. Karen, I don't know if you want to plug some of those other organizations that you work with.
No. My husband will laugh because he always says, how many are you involved with? there are several that there's two in particular that have helped me reach out a lot to other organizations and just start this journey of connecting. And one of them is the 100 Women Who Care unit that is in Utah County. I know that there's several of these across the state and the nation. It's a national thing. But 100 Women Who Care, we meet quarterly, and we commit a $100 donation at that meeting. But we have three nonprofits who present, and we vote right on the spot to who will get the accumulation of all the donations from our members on that day. But by doing that, I have learned so. I worked in the nonprofit world for years, and I still am surprised at all the nonprofits that are out there. And so that is a good way to find out what's going on in your community. And that's 100 Women Who Care. And you could find one in your local area. Another one that was a precursor to A Bolder Way Forward, Dr. Madsen came to our community and did a think tank to find out the pulse of women and girls' situations in Utah County. And from that think tank, a group of us got together afterwards and said, hey, we can't let this drop. This is too important. And this was pre-Bolder Way Forward. And so we organized an organization called Utah Valley Women Leadership Collaborative. And we are trying to help women make more impactful and intentional decisions in their lives. And we've started doing that. Our strategy is with an event called She Can, I Can, which is quite unique here. It is just women with no name recognition, just someone you'd find on the street that we know or are in contact with, and we help them create a story about an impactful decision that they have made in their lives. And then we have an event where these storytellers tell their stories. We have 4 or 5. And then we have a workshop so that every woman, every person who comes gets to create and tell a story to another person in their lives. And it's been very well received. We have 2 of these a year, and we have our next one coming up in April. But in this way, we feel like we can support what's going on in a bolder way forward on an individual woman's perspective, and to help them have a stronger voice in their own lives and to speak up in these areas that need to change for women and girls. And that's, we are just really happy with the turnout and the response we've gotten from the community for that She Can, I Can event.
Well, that's wonderful. Some great, great events going on there, Karen Hill. Thanks so much for sharing with us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Karen Hill, who's with Boulder Way Forward County Coalitions in Utah County. Wonderful. And a bunch of other organizations. that's great. She's very plugged in. Well, let's turn to Maya McKinnon, who's also with Boulder Way Forward this year in Cache County.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
So what's going on in Cache County with Boulder Way Forward?
Yeah. So let's see. I co-lead the Cache County Coalition with 2 other incredible women, Julia Westover and Michelle Smith. And as Amy kind of said, you know, our overall goal is to help Utah women and girls thrive in all areas of our lives, which is very lofty and it's really overwhelming. But as a coalition, we've begun our approach by educating ourselves first on the work of each one of these statewide spokes of A Boulder Way Forward, and then connected with those in our community currently doing good within those respective areas. So, we've done this first through hosting monthly meetings, focusing on one spoke at a time, and inviting spoke representatives and community leaders to discuss what work is currently being done and then what other help is needed. So it's been really great. I mean, we've learned so much through all of these. We've been doing it for a few months now. We've been meeting for about close to 2 years now, but... we've been able to provide a space for immediate connections to be made, and we've been able to bring significantly more men into the conversation and space of A Boulder Way Forward, which is just wonderful, and it's much needed for so many obvious reasons. Like Amy said, you know, when we lift girls and women, we lift everybody, and everybody thrives, really, in the end. I think most recently this is a really nice example of kind of some success we've had with these meetings. Is we hosted a meeting focusing on the child sexual abuse spoke, and we were able to invite a spoke leader and also the director of the Maloof Foundation, Jake Neely, and the director of the Cache County Children's Justice Center, Scott Bodily, and able to have just a group discussion and conversation about what they're both doing, where the gaps are, where the needs are, but they had actually not been connected before. So we were able to introduce the Children's Justice Center to the work of A Boulder Way Forward, which I think, you know, is a big deal and is able to create a new connection, a lot of increased support and resources, and just a huge increase of community outreach for those two groups. Which also just really plays into our another goal, which is to approach our coalition as a way to foster these connections between people and organizations that are currently doing the work in hopes to kind of decrease the overlapping efforts and to just grow that web of support across the state, because we're always stronger together. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of great stuff happening. Yeah. I guess to you and to Amy, how best to get connected? Is there a central contact point?
I think visiting the Boulder Way Forward homepage, just by searching A Boulder Way Forward, is great. It has so many resources and all the information you need. And then to get in touch with County Coalition specifically, there's a County Coalition page on that homepage. And all of our contact information is there, but it's a great way to find any county that you're living in and connect with those co-leads. And yeah, please reach out, because we want anybody and everybody to be involved. The more the better, always. So yeah.
And each county is very unique, too, because obviously we've got counties from as small as Daggett, which has 900 people, to Salt Lake County, which has thousands and thousands. So, you know, each individual county is in need of people's support and help, because we all bring our own talents and perspective and passion. And I think that's the key to this is, you know, even as we talk about on this show, people come into this work because either they've had a life experience that made them realize that there's need, or it's their employment. So bringing that to the table in each and every county is really important across all sorts of different areas. So,
oh, it's wonderful. So a bolder way forward. That's great. And shout out to Daggett County. Uinta County is my home county. So
oh, is it?
Very familiar with Daggett, the great Flaming Gorge area.
That's beautiful.
Shout out to people in Manila and Dutch John. So.
Well, and I'm going to be, within my work with the Boulder Way Forward, I do work with nine of the counties directly. So I'm actually going to be going out to you and to Shane in April for a meeting.
Well,
so.
This is a beautiful time to do it. Yeah.
I hope
it's
so.
Beautiful. Yeah.
No snow. Hopefully keep my
fingers
crossed.
Yes. No snow. No snow. Well, thank you so much. So we talked with Karen Hill and Maya McKinnon on this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate the good word, the good work. I just want to mention here before we go to break, Utah Public Radio is partners with Utah Women in Leadership Project for the Utah Women in Leadership podcast. And so we invite people to go to upr.org and listen to that podcast, various topics covered there with the Utah Women in Leadership Project. So let's do take a break. When we come back, we'll have much more. And again, we're doing a nonprofit spotlight. So here's your chance to give your favorite nonprofit a few minutes of some great spotlight information. Bring some people to the table to help your favorite nonprofit. You can do that right now by email to upraccess@gmail.com. upraccess@gmail.com. We do have a few emails we'll get to following this break. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams, and we're doing a nonprofit spotlight today. So we are asking you to, if you'd like, to just take a couple minutes, email us to upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com, and spotlight your favorite nonprofit. Here's an opportunity to boost them. So we've been talking about English Language Center of Cache Valley with the Boulder Way Forward as well. And looks like we have Julie Valentine on the line. Julie, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Julie.
I am, yes. Good morning.
Good morning. What would you like to talk about?
I am one of the co-leads for Boulder Way Forward, the sexual assault spoke. And I would just like to share with you and your listeners an exciting campaign that we will be launching with Boulder Way Forward, and that is the Start by Believing campaign. This is a campaign that Utah has a strong history. In 2015, Utah signed a proclamation being a Start by Believing state and launched the National Start by Believing Day, which is the first Wednesday of April. Start by Believing is a pretty simple campaign. It is educating all of society about how to respond to disclosures of sexual assault, domestic violence, child abuse, sexual harassment, stalking, and it's simple. It's saying, I believe you. I'm sorry this happened to you. What can I do to help? And this change really can create an environment where individuals are comfortable coming forward to report, thereby decreasing sexual and intimate partner and child abuse across our state.
So tell me again some details there. This is one event, or is it a week, or what's happening?
It's going to kick off on April 2nd, start by Believing Day, but this is going to be a sustained campaign throughout the state. We encourage people on Instagram to follow Start by Believing Utah, and it's SBB Utah on Instagram, where we are posting informational messages and also information about events in throughout the state. We will be holding a large event at the Capitol Rotunda on April 2nd at noon. And there also will be events in different areas of location on that day. But this is not just a one-day event. This really is a kickoff campaign to provide this education, to really create a culture shift across our state. Many probably know that Utah has higher rates of sexual assault and child sexual abuse than the national average. In fact, we rank consistently in the upper top 10. We want to change that. And we believe that this grassroots campaign is a powerful way to change that, make Utah healthier and safer.
Oh, sounds wonderful. So tell me again the details so people got it.
So it's Start by Believing. They can go to the End Violence Against Women website, which is startbybelieving.org. They can learn about the program online there and sign a pledge card. When people sign the pledge card, we really want them to make sure they list their state as Utah, because we are tracking those numbers. We'd also like them to list their town or city. And then they can plan on supporting in person on April 2nd, either at the Capitol Rotunda at noon or at different events that we will be posting on our Instagram, which is SBB Utah. So hashtag SBB Utah. We then hope people will educate others about this program, that this will expand to companies, to institutions, to athletic teams, to really make a difference in decreasing sexual and intimate partner violence and child abuse throughout our state.
Oh, wonderful. Julie Valentine, thanks so much for telling us about this.
Thank you.
A lot of good going on around our communities. That's what we like to spotlight here, right?
That's true.
Periodically.
So can I throw one out that's a little bit different? But I think that one of the reasons I love living in Utah is our access to the outdoors. And people might not be aware, but Arches National Park does these service Saturdays every month. And there's going to be one on March 29th and one on April 26th. You can go and help clean up litter, pull leaves at parking lots or trailheads. They provide all of the equipment. It's available for all ages, too. So if you're a family and you're looking for something to do at the end of March or the end of April, you can head down there. Minors do need to be accompanied by an adult. But a week before, they set out what the location is going to be. But if you're interested, you can call 435-719-2214 to sign up, or you can also email SEUG_volunteers@nps.gov. And I think that, there's been lots in the news lately about our national parks and what their needs are. So if you love Arches National Park, please volunteer and go help clean up. Get some fresh air, some sunshine, some vitamin D. Lift your spirits and help our national parks.
Oh, that's great. That's wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. Let me get to some of these emails. And we'd love to see your email as well to upraccess@gmail.com. upraccess@gmail.com. Spotlight your favorite nonprofit. This is from Maureen Boyle. She says, please join us for a community planning workshop on LGBTQ+ well-being in northern Utah. The workshop event will be held on Saturday, March 22nd, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Utah State University's Logan campus. Participants are also welcome to join by Zoom. The purpose of this workshop is to bring community members and organizational partners together to develop solutions that support LGBTQ plus health and well-being in Box Elder, Cache, and Rich counties. The workshop is organized by the USU Transforming Communities Institute, Bear River Region LGBTQ plus Community Coalition, USU Social Work in partnership with USU College of Humanities and Social Sciences, USU Center for Intersectional Gender Studies and Research, and Logan Pride Foundation. The event is free. Refreshments and lunch will be provided in person. Everyone is welcome with limited seats available for 50 participants. Please register with the link provided on the flyer that's sent, but I have a solution to this so you can get the flyer and that QR code. Again, that's a community planning workshop on LGBTQ plus well-being in Northern Utah, Saturday, March 22nd, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Utah State University campus. And the best way to get there, that QR code and register, is just to Google Bear River Region LGBTQ plus Community Coalition. So it's Bear River Region LGBTQ plus Community Coalition. You go to their website and they have that flyer right there. By the way, that's on the USU campus, Carolyn Tanner Irish Pavilion on the USU campus. So everybody's invited to that. Let's go to our next email here. This is, let's see, from Stokes Nature Center. He said, Amy Anderson mentioned Access Utah segment for nonprofits. So a very busy year ahead for Stokes Nature Center as we work to ensure all people have access to nature. We're still on track to open our outdoor classroom and nature park in the fall of this year to increase the number of students that we can serve in our preschool, school programs, and more. We are hosting a screening of The Grand Salmon, a documentary exploring the health of the Salmon River, on April 14th. Our summer camps just opened for registration, including fly fishing, hiking, art, and nature, and more. We have a brand new event on our calendar this year, a shared meal and experience featuring food foraged from our valley. That sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. August 24th, called From Forest to Fork at Mount Naomi Vineyards. And Canyon Jam season passes are available now for 8 concerts from June to September. Those are all great concerts. So much more. Details and tickets available at logannature.org. That's logannature.org for the Stokes Nature Center.
Well, and you can see Janet and I at those concerts because I think all we've right. both bought the annual pass for
Excellent.
The last few years. They're really, really fun.
Annual pass holders here. That's great. Yeah. Let's see. Then finally we have, we're thrilled to invite you to a transformative lunch and learn event on March 25th as we celebrate Pay Equality Day. Pay Equality Day. Come together to share success stories, hear from male allies, and discuss the vital role all of us play in closing the gender wage gap in Utah. To drive real change, we need equal representation of men and women's participation. Please consider bringing a new ally from your organization or another company who's open to learning, making an impact, and shaping a strong workplace for everyone to thrive. Together we can spark the transformation we need.
And I believe that day is a woman has to work that much longer to achieve equal pay. So that March 25th is that kind of time frame that equalizes out pay. So that's the purpose behind that date, is just to bring awareness that women need to work longer period of time to equal out what a man's salary would be in a given year.
All right. What I don't have is a place for this event.
It's at the Gateway.
It's at the Gateway. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So the one I just pulled up, I Googled Equal Pay Day. So Tuesday, March 25th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Gateway. All right. Great. And that's a part of Boulder Way Forward, it looks like. So that's a great event.
Yeah. So, and I'd like to just give a shout out to our local health department, the Bear River Health Department, which covers Box Elder, Rich, and Cache County. People may not be aware, but they have so many classes that are available for free for individuals that are looking for a healthier life. And one of the ones that I think is really important is their youth tobacco vaping cessation services that they provide. It's a program called My Life, My Quit. Unfortunately, we see more and more youth vaping these days, and there's a misperception that that's healthier than smoking, but it's still not healthy. So if you are a parent or you are a youth, I don't know how many youth listen to Access Utah, but if you go to the Bear River Health Department's website, which is brhdut.gov, they have a whole list of classes, and you can register for that. It's also the place where you can get your food handler's permit. There's a tobacco retailer class that's offered there. They have classes for diabetes prevention for Utah, or for adult tobacco cessation. They have suicide prevention, breastfeeding support. Just again, this is such a great organization. I cannot say enough about our Bear River Health Department. It's where our WIC program runs through. It's where you can get immunizations if you're traveling overseas. But they do so much for that Tri-County area. But each county here in Utah has a local health department that provides similar services. So again, many of them are free. If you need help, they're there to help.
Wonderful. Let's take another break. We'll come back with a brief final segment on our Nonprofit Spotlight program. And you're welcome to spotlight your favorite nonprofit at upraccess@gmail.com. upraccess@gmail.com. More following this. Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. We have another 3 or 4 minutes left in our Nonprofit Spotlight episode today. We're highlighting a favorite nonprofit as well at upraccess@gmail.com. So we just barely had this email come in. Cache Youth Orchestra is a nonprofit organization in Cache Valley. Our mission is to provide a nurturing environment where music students develop discipline and artistry through the study and performance of a wide range of core repertoire, all while having fun and making lasting friendships. We believe that Cache Youth Orchestras will achieve the following objectives for the students: cultivate advanced ensemble music skills and instrument mastery, encourage retention through advanced performance opportunities, provide enriching experiences for advanced string students as they rehearse and perform in a challenging environment, cultivate the strong music-oriented culture here in Cache Valley, support local school orchestra programs by collaborating and providing supplemental orchestral instruction, and provide local and national international outreach and performance opportunity. CYO provides young string musicians of Cache Valley opportunities to develop and share their love of music, grow their ensemble and collaboration skills, support their social and intellectual development, and enhance and elevate the music community in Cache Valley. So CacheYouthOrchestras.org, CacheYouthOrchestras.org. They go on to say Cache Youth Orchestra has both a Philharmonic Orchestra directed by Syrian conductor and cellist Dr. Gius Zaida. I saw him conduct in a concert the other day. He's quite dynamic. As well as a crescendo orchestra conducted by educator and violinist Ms. Rachel Wheeler. So CacheYouthOrchestras.org.
Great. Well, and just a new nonprofit that's coming to the Valley is Goodwill. People may have seen that they are going to be opening up a store on Main Street. And similar to other organizations, they accept donations and they use those fundings to help with employment skills, with economic mobility, they are doing their ribbon cutting next week on the 27th. So, again, another location. We have other wonderful organizations like Somebody's Attic and Desert Industries that also accept donations and then turn that around to do good in our community. So thanks to all three of those. And I think there's room for one more because I know I'm helping to clean out my father-in-law's house right now, and there's definitely things that are usable. So it's great to have locations where we can donate those things.
You're going to be taking some stuff to Goodwill, I guess, yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not here in Cache. Oh, no, I do have to travel for that, but yes, I do value these organizations across our country.
That do this work, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a wonderful thing, yes. Well, we reached the end of our time here. Any quick last one you want to mention?
It this time always goes so fast, but just again, encourage people. I think one of my former colleagues at Sunshine Terrace always used to say that if you have an empty lot, build a service station. I think that when we serve, when we give back, it helps others, but that intrinsic value that it brings to us to know that we are helping is so important. Especially in this time where so many people still feel isolated and separated from each other, volunteering is a way to help fill that hole for you, to help your own mental health, to help you feel a sense of personal satisfaction and giving. So volunteer. No matter where it is, whatever your passion is, find a way to volunteer.
I'll say amen to that. Thank you. So Amy Anderson's been with us. We've also had in studio Maya McKinnon and Janet Bolness. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for everybody who participated. You could keep those emails coming. We'll get them on the next program, upraccess@gmail.com. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Access Utah.
This is Wild About Utah.
Kick, step, breathe. Kick, step, breathe. Miniature foam-like pellets of snow swirl past my face, land on the slope we are struggling against, then tumble hundreds of feet down the snow-encased mountain. My friend John Luvere and I have skied the Bear River Range backcountry together since we first met as Utah State University students in 1995. We try to ski this shot every spring. Today the light is flat, causing both sky and mountain to blend into a single dimension, making it difficult to distinguish snow from clouds. The dry canyon slope we are ascending is prominent from nearly everywhere in Cache Valley. Each winter, its absolute openness and gentle, seductive rolls tantalize backcountry skiers. For us, it is a blank canvas. We stare at it on our way to and from work, occasionally spotting other skiers' tracks, best highlighted when the late evening sunlight turns the mountain hues of pink and orange. But embedded in the stark beauty of this mountain is a dark past. Backcountry skiers call this slope the Folly for good reason. It measures exactly 38 degrees in steepness, precisely the slope angle that produces the most deadly avalanches. 38-degree slopes are gentle enough to allow dangerous slabs of snow to build where they can rest precariously without commitment to the mountain. A single skier, snowboarder, snowmobile, or even just one last snowflake can set it all in motion. Because the Folly faces southwest, prevailing winds tend to transport freshly fallen snow off the slope, over the ridge, and deposit it in Spring Hollow. Afternoon sunshine also welds new layers of snow to old layers rather quickly. Both of these factors combine to stabilize the slope, despite its steepness, but it still shouldn't be reckoned with unless you know and understand the composition and history of the snowpack. The spring-like conditions present today are exactly what John and I have waited for. Everything is frozen firmly in place. In January of 1997, Carl Mugler and Max Lyon, who both grew up in Cache Valley, were visiting family for the holidays. The two decided to catch up on old times with Logan resident Keith Moss by ski camping in Dry Canyon. They pitched their tents in a stand of aspens, interspersed with Engelmann spruce at the base of the Folly. Trees generally serve as a good indicator of safety from avalanches, since proven slide paths obliterate timber. Had they camped there any other night in a 20-year span, they would have awakened to another memorable ski day. But while they slept, a foot of new snow fell, and the west wind shifted, blowing violently from the northeast, heaping tons of snow from the Spring Hollow side onto the Folly. A week before, unseasonably warm temperatures caused rain to fall on the slope, which later froze into a hard, smooth ice crust. All of these factors combined to create the perfect conditions for a spontaneous and catastrophic avalanche. Despite their years of backcountry experience, Carl, Max, and Keith were buried in their tent under 5 feet of concrete hard snow. The community was devastated. Though I didn't know Carl or Keith, I had spent a day skiing with Max only a few weeks before. He embodied the type of person anyone would aspire to become. Excitement for living radiated from his face. He laughed easily and spoke optimistically of the future. The same has been said of Carl and Keith. They were educators, outdoor activists, and advocates for community. Over the years, I've wondered what gesture I could make to pay tribute to their lives. At the top of the Folly, still surrounded by thick clouds and meandering snowflakes, we start down, one at a time. Without warning, gracious sunlight bursts through the squall. We accelerate, gliding over the glowing snow, unsure if we are flying or skiing. A truly ethereal moment. The snow beneath our skis is firm, and our metal edges cut tight turns with precision as we descend from the clouds, honoring three of Logan's finest the best way we know how. I am Eric Newell, and I am Wild About Utah.